was a dark, stormy night as the train rattled on. All the passengers had gone to bed, except a young man with a baby in his arms sat there with a bowed down head. The innocent one began crying just then, as though its poor heart would break. One angry man said, "Make that child stop its noise, for it's keeping all of us awake."
Hello, this is Mr. Petey Pete, and you are listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 and WGXC.org, streaming all over the world.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WayFarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands WayFarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WayFarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Lee Wijeskoud in Stuyvesant, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, July the 3rd, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. When powerful wind gusts created threatening wildfire conditions one day near Boulder, the state's largest utility cut power to 50,000 homes and businesses, including Fraser, an assisted living and skilled nursing facility. We get the details in this KFF Health News, Colorado News Connection, collaboration.
According to reporting from KFF Health News, emergency generators kept oxygen machines, most refrigerators and freezers, and hallway lights running during the outage, but Vice President of Operations Tomas Mendez says the campus's central heating and cooling systems went down.
Fortunately, back in April when this happened, the temperatures did not get too cold, but should this happen in a freezing environment or during a very hot day, it really could have even worse consequences.
Staff and residents learned of the planned outage from news reports and were initially told by Xcel Energy that their power would not be impacted. I'm Eric Galatis.
Xcel says restoring power to hospitals and nursing homes was a priority, but acknowledged that public safety power shutoffs can improve. Next, from NBC News, Representative Lloyd Doggett of Texas became the first sitting Democrat in Congress to call for President Joe Biden to withdraw from the 2024 presidential race, citing his poor debate performance and the fact that Biden has trailed Trump all year in surveys. NBC quotes Doggett as saying, "Our overriding consideration must be who has the best hope of saving our democracy from an authoritarian takeover by a criminal and his gang." Doggett said in a statement Tuesday, "Biden saved our democracy by delivering us from Trump in 2020. He must not deliver us to Trump in 2024. And abortion bans and restrictions limit women's participation in the workforce, according to a new analysis, which quantifies the negative impacts on state economies.
South Dakota saw an average loss in GDP of nearly 1% per year between 2021 and 2023 due to a drop in labor force participation by people who became pregnant and didn't have access to abortion care, according to data from the Institute for Women's Policy Research. That adds up to nearly $641 million in economic losses to the state. Jamila Taylor, president and CEO of the Institute, says the 16 states with abortion bans or extreme restrictions, including South Dakota, are costing the national economy $68 billion annually.
Not only do these restrictions and bans have a clear impact on the health and well-being of people with the ability to get pregnant, they also have an impact on their productivity and their economic position in life.
Taylor says abortion access not only helps family finances, but also allows women ages 15 to 44 to engage more broadly in society. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
This is Public News Service. Next, we head to Connecticut, where a new report shows the state's 988 crisis lifeline services rank high nationwide.
The report is from Inseparable, a national mental health advocacy group. It examines how to close gaps in the mental health continuum of care, starting with 988 and crisis response. Since the suicide and crisis lifeline transitioned to a shorter number, Connecticut saw a 125% call increase in the first year. Tanya Barrett with the United Way of Connecticut says it's hard but rewarding work to hear calls all day from people in distress.
We make a really big effort to make sure that we're giving our staff the resources to be able to decompress, de-stress, and to really understand their impact and how their impact is actually impacting other people's lives.
She adds, once they understand how important their work is, they can readily pick up the next call. Barrett feels policymakers should maintain a strong workforce pipeline to keep staffing levels up. This comes as Connecticut's 988 expands to include chat and text services. She says a different population tends to use this option. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Meantime, nearly 60% of Nebraska's 3- and 4-year-olds aren't enrolled in preschool programs, which are associated with increased success in school and beyond.
Amy LaPointe Houghton, education director with the Winnebago Tribe, says the EDUCARE program was once described to her as Head Start on steroids. She says in their years with the EDUCARE system, Winnebago children have gone from testing near the bottom to being right in line with children in the 24 other EDUCARE centers across the country.
So we've made that huge leap, and it's all around the data. We have our data compiled in a book every year. And things that are identified in that book, that's something we make improvements on.
She says evaluators from the University of Nebraska Medical Center assess the children at the beginning and end of each school year. EDUCARE Winnebago is the only EDUCARE program in the country on an Indian reservation. I'm Deborah Van Fleet.
Finally, from Frieda Ross, environmental groups in Texas are backing a proposed global plastics treaty that's set to be finalized by the end of this year.
The treaty aims to minimize plastics' impact on the environment and make manufacturers responsible for managing plastic waste. The treaty also encourages use of reusable options such as single-use bags, straws, and utensils. Cheyenne Rendon with the Society of Native Nations says supporters need to focus on the people the treaty will serve.
The United States has already conveyed that they're not willing to operate out of current existing laws. So although their approach is they are for the Global Plastics Treaty, it's at the lowest denomination of a treaty as possible.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Member and listener supported. Hear us on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, July 3rd. Local early morning temperatures range from 53 degrees in Medusa to 61 in Tannersville. Air quality is good this morning, expected to move into moderate territory this afternoon. Shouldn't be a big deal for the vast majority of us. Today will be nice as temperatures increase, so do winds, with a chance for some gusts this afternoon. A good idea to pick up anything loose in the yard and you should be okay. Unless you're on the mountain, your garbage cans might go for a walk. A high of 83 happens at 3 p.m. UV warnings are out for the region, so be sure to bring sunglasses and protect your skin when outside. 64 humid feeling degrees overnight takes us into a soggy looking Independence Day. Rain chances all day long. Thunder gets tossed in the mix in the afternoon. A high of 82 happens at 4 p.m. Overnight, light chances for rain continue and the air will feel pretty sticky. Low temperature of 69 degrees with a matching dew point. Friday will feel gross. Dew points in the 70s. Those ACs will be working hard even with a high of only 86. Rain chances all day that last into Saturday, which has a high of 85. Sunday, there is hope. Afternoon could be dry. Stay tuned. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:14 a.m., low tide at 8:09 a.m., high tide again at 1:45 p.m., then low tide once again at 8:04 p.m. The river temperature will be 65 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 8:21 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:21 a.m. Looking way up, we see it appears we could be in the beginning of solar cycle 25's maximum. Could last till 2027. G1 class magnetic storm watch is up as an Hadouken is expected today. X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be slow at 325 kilometers per second, with a thin density of less than one proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 192. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hi, folks. Before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Barris. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty for this disgusting, un-American behavior is 1 year in prison or a $10,000 fine or both. Anyone making a sick, submersive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under edict number 364 of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
Okay, have fun, buddy.
All right. When you hear sound, when you hear radio, you hear the propagation of waves. Before ham radio, there was monastic devotion. The miracle of radio is just the most modern miracle. What is radio good for? I'll tell you, it's good to dispense information, amuse the multitudes, scare people to death, issue commands, incite riot, a call to arms, chastise the listener, plea for funds, emergency instructions, the reports, story hour, radio plays, and music, classical, pop, swing, rock and roll, and mood music. Crystal balls are obsolete, but are they? They don't need to be plugged in, and they never need batteries. But where can you find one of those these days? You can pick up a radio at a store.
Always felt like something was gonna happen here, and now I get to witness Hudson growing every year. Thanks to WGXC, we get a song together. I remember when getting friends was tough as leather. I remember when the first head started turning. Now with this radio, my lyrics are burning. This town supported me as I was growing up, and now it seemed to be cruising on the boat above.
The buildings, the history, the people, the mystery. WGXC.
WGXC.
My name is Tom Rowe. You're listening to Saturday Morning Serial, the story of WGXC and how WGXC got on the air. We started off today listening to Brian Dewan's radio song from the first WGXC broadcast, February 26, 2011. Then we heard the WGXC youth theme song recorded by Theo Hammond, Marie Lachey, Olivia Williams, Mano Badilla, Gideon Crevichet, Jeremy Tal, Henry Hirsch at Henry Hirsch's Riverfront Studios with Mark Reed. And next, Tom Skorimbas, or Leroy Kartfracker, tells the tale of getting the transmitter to the top of the mountain to get things started as we turn on WGXC transmitter and tell the history of WGXC.
Sky, Tara, Tarna, Sarah, Galen, Margo, Vicky, Tom, and Philly, Topsville, Classy, Joan, and Paul in the main hall where they still make their sandwiches. The whole dang crew, don't do you, including fur in languages.
Now that's a jingle.
They've got Max and Matt showing that neither of them cowards. Up they go through the ice and snow, hellbent for the tower. There's Jim and Kim who slam and a dude who brought his bungles. There's Carlene with the Creole scene and music from the Congo. And everywhere else in the world, still they've got Sunday show where folks can go for trading big and teeny. Laura called, was installed, got herself zucchini. There goes Al with his pal, showing them what to do again. The crew went off back in the hall, now they's eating stew again. Stew is GXC.
Trace WGXC's history back, we must go to 1994 in Tampa, Florida, the Ybor City neighborhood, where Chuck Stevens, Kelly Combat, Billy Budget, myself, and a few others started 87X, a pirate radio station below the 88 FM dial that covered the Ybor City neighborhood in Tampa. At the time, there were six other pirate or micro radio transmitter stations in Tampa, Florida. Eventually, 87X got busted, but not without getting some international notoriety. First, we'll listen to a few moments of sound of a CD skipping for 12 hours overnight on 87X. It's included on a WFMU compilation CD. Then we'll hear Kelly Combat or Kelly Benjamin tell the story of 87X getting shut down by SWAT teams in 1997.
Three places around town simultaneously this was going on. So it was about almost 6:30 in the morning. Kathy and I were laying in bed, and she was about ready to get up. She's a teacher. She was about ready to go to school. And all of a sudden, there's a cop knock. You know how they knock?
I don't know. What is that knock?
It's kind of like this. They go... something like that. But more powerful and fast and angry. Anyway, you know... never saw Cops? You know how they knock on doors on Cops?
I don't really watch that show.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We'll watch it sometime, because it'll kind of prepare you guys for what could happen. Anyway, they knock like that, and they say, "Hey, police, open up, police, open up." And Kathy got out of bed. I guess she was kind of dazed, still kind of half asleep. And she opened the door, and "Do you have a warrant?" And they said, "Yeah, we have a warrant. Come outside, come outside." And they made her go outside, and they rushed in the house, and rushed in my bedroom while I was still in bed. Said, "Freeze, freeze." One of them had a gun out. One of them was pointing flashlights in my face, because it was still dark out, you know? And I guess...
I'm Tom Rowe, and we are telling the story about WGXC getting on the air on Saturday Morning Serial. And we are listening in to origination stories. We're started off in Tampa, Florida, where pirate radio or micro radio station 87X got started. Eventually, we'll remember some of those names. Chuck Stevens will come back into the story. But I moved to Brooklyn and start Free 103.9, a micro radio station. And Free 103.9 and 87X are both aligned with thousands of other stations committing civil disobedience on the airwaves in the 1990s for a reason. Let's listen to a report from the Columbia News Service about micro radio at the time.
If you happen to be tuning around your FM dial in Williamsburg, Brooklyn on Saturday afternoon 2 weeks ago, you may have heard this. Just between 103.5 WKTU and Q104, New York's only classic rock.
Throw your head in the air and play me like you just don't care. The party's over here.
The budding MC calls herself Destiny. She is one of a dozen 9, 10, and 11-year-old radio enthusiasts from Harlem who have come on a field trip to visit one of New York's pirate radio stations. They're here at 103.9 FM to produce their very own broadcast. For about 3 hours, the rambunctious youngsters talk and shout, play tape-recorded interviews they have conducted, and take turns announcing their favorite songs.
How y'all doing out there? All right, we're going to play the Rugrats tape. And I hope y'all enjoy this song. Good shout-out to my family and friends and God.
Free 103.9 broadcasts from a 40-watt transmitter and a rooftop antenna. Compared to the 50,000-watt transmitters of many commercial stations, the signal is so low it's called micropower. But the broadcast reaches radios within a few miles. For more than a year, these children have been learning about radio at an after-school program at the housing projects where most of them live. The group is even setting up their own half-watt transmitter that will broadcast to their neighborhood. They call it WKDR, Kids Discover Radio. Pilar Alamo teaches the radio class.
I think this is a great motivation for them. You know, I write contracts with them where in order to borrow the equipment, they have to read me back the contract and sign it. Kids that usually don't read, they're reading that contract like crazy because they want to take the equipment home and, you know.
Alamo says the goal of the radio project is to empower community members, starting with the children, to tell their own stories in their own voices. The drawback is that these radio broadcasts are illegal. Neither Free 103.9 nor WJMZ have a license, and the Federal Communications Commission, which regulates all broadcasting in the United States, does not license micropower radio. When Congress established the FCC in 1934, it recognized the airwaves as public property, but it also recognized them as a scarce resource that needed to be controlled. Otherwise, the broadcast spectrum would become so cluttered that nobody would be able to use it. So Congress charged the FCC to regulate the airwaves and to do so in the public interest. The commission has jurisdiction over every kind of broadcast, from TV and radio to airline and nautical transmissions to cellular telephones, and it vigorously cracks down on unlicensed broadcasters. During the past year and a half, the FCC has shut down more than 475 pirate radio stations across the country. David Fisk is a spokesman for the FCC.
That system only works if everybody has an allocated, you know, slot to use and stays within that slot. The whole purpose is to prevent interference.
Free 103.9.
On Saturday night after the children have left, DJ Dizzy takes to the air. He says he understands the FCC's concerns, but he has been careful to select a frequency and a signal strength that does not interfere with legal stations or other pirates. But he still moves around a lot, playing a cat-and-mouse game with the FCC.
We don't broadcast from a regular position. We don't broadcast on any sort of regular schedule. And we try to just let the people that can tune in know about it.
While the program is music tonight, the station will try anything.
People do radio plays. There's been call-in shows. We had a party on top of the Williamsburg Bridge one night. All these DJs played on top of the bridge.
Dizzy envisions 30 antennas in the area, with different neighborhood groups sharing the same transmitter on a rotating basis. The station might broadcast a block party 1 week, air Hasidic programming the next, and Latin after that. He sees broadcasting as an act of civil disobedience, in which the people who own the airwaves are reclaiming them in the public interest. He says the FCC is only protecting the commercial exploitation of the public's airwaves.
The airwaves are this like natural resource, like parkland or something, that's been devastated by commercial development. I mean, it's like if all the parks in the country were had factories on them by these people making their own private money.
Recently, there are signs that the FCC is listening to these and similar arguments. In January, the commission proposed granting new 1,000-watt and 100-watt licenses. FCC spokesman David Fisk.
The idea was that if you could find spaces where you're broadcasting with lower power, then you wouldn't be causing interference with some of the large stations, but you'd enable either a church or a community group or an ethnic group or a college or even a high school could have a short-range broadcasting going, you know, to a particular narrowly defined community in a short area.
But those who already own broadcast licenses don't buy that argument. They say sticking a whole lot of small stations in the radio band would interfere with the already established stations. This is the position of the National Association of Broadcasters, which opposes the FCC's low-power proposal. While pirate operators believe that a plethora of micropower stations is the answer, they also oppose the FCC's low-power proposal. When FCC Chairman William Kennard visited New York last month, about 20 supporters of micro-broadcasting rallied outside the New York Law School, where Kennard delivered a speech. They carried signs that read, "FCC don't stomp on me," and "Micropower to the people." About half the protesters were involved with Steal This Radio, a pirate station for Manhattan's Lower East Side. The activists argue that the 1,000-watt and 100-watt licenses being proposed are still too powerful for most community radio purposes. Michael Eisenanger was one of the demonstrators. He says granting new low-power licenses won't change a thing if the licenses are simply sold to more commercial stations.
We have all sorts of mass media, you know, that we can go to for the corporate or the commercial message. Broadcast really lends itself to, you know, local people talking about local issues.
Until last week, another pirate station was broadcasting in Williamsburg.
WJFZ 89.3, this is Buddha Princess.
WJMZ was on the air three nights a week, broadcasting everything from Latin music to live techno to community activism. The Buddha Princess's Tea Party was on the air every Monday night. Half the show was about sex and the other half about city politics. Tonight, the host and her guest talk about plans to auction off community gardens and the mayor's efforts to enforce an obscure anti-dancing ordinance in New York nightclubs.
Join us as we create a liberated dance zone by forming the world's largest hokey pokey around City Hall to protest Herr Giuliani's crackdown on unauthorized dance.
Just a week after this program aired, and a few days after the Hokey Pokey protest, the FCC shut down WJMZ. Field engineers from the FCC's New York office found the station's studios last Tuesday, and they threatened to fine the pirate operators and seize their equipment if the station didn't cease broadcasting. The FCC will be accepting public comment about its proposal to license low-power stations until June 1st. But the commission made clear that low-power licensing is not an effort to legalize pirate stations. In some cases, pirates who have continued to defy FCC regulations will be banned from applying for low-power licenses. If it's decided that low power is the way to go, changes could be announced by the end of the year. For Columbia Radio News, I'm Greg Clark.
Before WGXC got on the FM airwaves, Free 103.9 online radio existed since 2001, broadcasting 24 hours a day, online radio art, and more, including the battleship Battlefield Earth program from Dan Seward. WGXC started its own online webcast on May 9th, 2009, first at the Catskill Community Center and then in Germantown. Here is that first WGXC online broadcast, the first moments on WGXC online radio.
First broadcast of WGXC coming to you live from the Catskill Community Center on beautiful Main Street in Catskill, New York. We're all very excited. This is a maiden voyage for a community radio station, and we've got a lot of wonderful things planned for you for the next couple of hours, so please stay with us. Right now in the studio, we have a local musician by the name of Rob Hervey, and he's going to be performing for us for a few minutes here. Rob, it's a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
If you'd like to tell us a little bit about the instrument that you're going to be playing for us, it's a little unusual looking, and I'm wondering how many people may really be aware of it.
Well, this is what's known as a didgeridoo, and it's Australian, and it's thought to be the oldest instrument in the world, by some accounts, some 40,000 years old. And I've been playing it since about 1996, and it's just a hollow tube. Traditionally, it's made out of eucalyptus branches that are hollowed out by termites, and the termites like to eat the soft, pulpy inside of the branch, and they leave it hollow, and then the Aboriginal people go and they make instruments out of it.
Well, looking at it, it looks very intricate. There's a lot of design on it. Did you do that yourself?
No, I bought this like that.
But, okay.
The Aboriginal people like to use a lot of dots, like a mosaic almost. And then they're very in touch with nature, so they'll have like a lot of animals. On this one is an animal that's known as a basilisk. It's a lizard that can run on water, and it's native to Australia.
Then on February 26th, 2011, lots of folks gathered at the Catskill Community Center from 2 to 6 p.m. for the first broadcast of WGXC. The transmitter actually got turned on a few minutes before, and this was the first song played on WGXC from Chuck Stevens, or TransMiniacon MC, from the original 87X crew in Tampa, Florida in 1994 to WGXC in 2011. Here's the first song ever, Radio, from TransManiacon MC on WGXC.
Turning on the good vibrations, spinning all the winners for you. Stay with the station that'll bring you all the best in music.
Oh, hell no. I know you didn't just touch my radio. You can do that in training, but you can get your kilt out here, man. I'm going to show you real music. Yeah, that's real music. You hear that?
Thank you. Testing.
Hello, how you doing?
Check, 1, 2.
Okay, everybody's ready?
Almost.
Okay, you got it?
Yep.
Okay. 45 seconds. I mean, kick it out of the situation. Okay, now, Saturday at 2 o'clock. Can you see?
No. Younger ones can.
Ten!
GXC 90.7 servicing Accra, Catskill, and Hudson, Columbia, and Greene County. Woo! Thank you for the show. So we're gonna proceed with the celebration here, which is now is on the way. So have fun, folks.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Thousands of new voices could soon hit radio airwaves across the country. That's if the Senate takes up and passes a community radio bill in its lame duck session. The measure could increase the number of non-commercial stations broadcasting in the U.S. by nearly a quarter. Media reform advocates say the new stations could do wonders for political and civic discourse, but as Rick Carr reports, the bill won't do anything until it clears a major hurdle in the Senate.
A few weekends ago, dozens of people came to downtown Hudson, New York to build a new community radio station. They cut lumber for studio tables and soundproofing baffles. They screwed together racks to hold broadcasting equipment. And they learned the best way to strip the insulation off of audio cables.
What I do is I score the edge of the rubber and then sort of twist it back and forth. And
they were all volunteers working to get WGXC on the air. The station's filling a void for nearly 75,000 people in Columbia and Greene counties. Greene County legislator Bill Lawrence says the area used to have a commercial radio station that actually reported local news.
Back when I first became a legislator in the early 80s, we had great reporting, investigative reporting, actually, and I thought they did a good job of doing both sides of a story. We lost it. They went regional, and we sort of lost that local input.
Long story short, San Antonio-based Clear Channel Communications bought the station and cut local programming. Lawrence has volunteered as a co-host of the new station's morning show. And in case you're thinking he's some kind of crunchy, touchy-feely hippie, he's a Republican. WGXC's general manager, Galen Joseph Hunter, is not. And she says that's the point.
He and I couldn't disagree more politically, but he approaches his point of view with respect for others and with humor, and hopefully everyone on the station will have those qualities.
Joseph Hunter admits that perfect bipartisan cooperation on the air may be a bit of a utopian dream. But the idea that neighbors can get along if they're all on the air together is at the heart of the push for more community radio in the U.S. Activists have been asking for more licenses for community stations for more than a decade. And just as WGXC has supporters from across the political spectrum, the nationwide movement has support from liberals and conservatives. Michelle Combs is senior spokesperson for the Christian Coalition.
I think that this is really a family issue. It's affecting a lot of good churches and a lot of good schools out there, and a lot of people who this is how they get their news and this is how they get their information.
Supporters on the left tend to cite what news stations could do for immigrants or underprivileged inner city communities. Advocates on all sides of the political spectrum see community radio as an antidote to media industry consolidation.
That level of consolidation yields a lot of clout.
Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington is co-sponsor of a bill that would let as many as 1,000 new community stations go on the air. But it's stuck. It passed the House with bipartisan support, and her co-sponsor in the Senate is Arizona Republican John McCain. But a couple of anonymous senators have used parliamentary procedure to effectively veto its chances for an up or down vote. Cantwell says it's yet another example of minority rule on Capitol Hill, which happens to lots of bills that have bipartisan support.
A lot of these bills would pass 98-2 or, 95-5 if we got rid of what are called secret holds, where one or two members hold something up really on behalf of some special interest.
The special interest in this case is the National Association of Broadcasters, the trade group for commercial radio. It's been opposing an increase in the number of community stations for more than a decade. An NAB spokesperson declined to comment on whether the group was behind the secret holds in the Senate. He did say that the NAB's worried that hundreds of new stations might cause interference with the signals of existing stations. Cantwell says rigorous testing has shown that the trade group's objections are unwarranted. Besides, she says, the need for the new stations outweighs the concerns of broadcasting conglomerates.
What my constituents, and I think many Americans, want to see is a diversity of voices and an array of information being distributed from radio stations that can have a very, very unique perspective.
Supporters of WGXC in Hudson, New York, say that's what they want from their community radio station.
10, 9,
after they built the station's studio, they counted down to the moment when it hit the airwaves.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's up to the U.S. Senate to decide whether or not other community stations can throw the switches on their transmitters.
Transmission!
If the bill doesn't pass this month, Cantwell says she'll introduce it again next year. For NPR News, I'm Rick Carr. Next track. There it goes. It's blinking.
Why are you whispering?
Because it's almost...
Well, I went and cashed in my stamps down at the Giant Tone.
Giant Tone!
On the radio.
Oh,
down at the town. Drove out to Earlton and fished a snapping turtle out the road. I had to turn the volume up. After all, I was getting out my truck. Pushed him to safety with a cardboard box. Wished him good luck. So I got back in my truck and turned the volume back down. Music and information, and when it comes to these parts, everything that's going down. Now let me tell you something about them folks there at WGXC. That radio station, why, it's been just like a radio station to me. Don't serve nobody nor nothing except in the community, and that's you and me. This is Leroy Cartfrecker of the Criminal Farmers talking at you. And just in case you hasn't already figured it out, is listening to WGXC.
WGXC.
The best dang radio station in Columbia and Greene Counties. Yeah, you thought I was going to say the world, didn't you? Well, I got out my truck and I hollered at the thing. He said, hey, Turno, what the hell you doing just sitting in the road? In payment, I hate you. I tried pushing them out in the road with my foot. Good Lord, didn't try a second time. They faster than you think, just a lunging and a snapping at you. So I went to get the cardboard box. Sure as shine, all the over the rise come a town truck. Hell, man, for
you. You can sing from any place that you happen to be. If you're in your car listening now or out there, anyone's welcome.
Won't you listen in to your radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing? Turn radio on. Turn radio on.
Turn radio on.
feel the good vibrations coming from the land of endless fun. Get in touch with God. Turn the radio on. Turn the radio on. Let's hear the music in the air. Oh yes, turn the radio on. Let the glory show. Let us stand on. Listen to the clan, home Santa's roll. Turn the radio on. Turn the radio on. Get a little taste of joy's awakening. Get a little heaven into your soul. Get a touch of God. Turn the radio on. Turn the radio on. Listen to the music. Turn the radio on.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM. I hope you turn your radio on for that one. Thank you for being here today. Thank you all of you out there listening. This is the beginning of a new era. You have a community radio serving you, so take advantage of it.
What's going on? You're rocking with Young Paris. You're now listening to WGXC
90.7 FM.
Acre, Catskill, and Hudson.
Hands-on and listener-supported radio.
For Green and Columbia Counties.
Hello, Abnara.
I'm Pamela Badila.
This is Daniel.
This is Aubrey.
This is At The Row.
Putting the community back in radio.
The whole idea of the community radio is so great, and it's really about getting people involved in their communities. It's about learning about what's happening in your backyard. It's education.
They want sauerkraut, and they grew up having sauerkraut. They know it, and they don't say, I want mustard. It's sauerkraut. They reveal exactly what they want. Very few people come up and say, I want you to take me around everywhere that you can buy a hot dog in the city, in the county.
And you're back with the afternoon show. I'm interviewing John Thorne, noted baseball expert.
Buenas tardes, amigos. Latinoamérica, su programa Amigo.
Radio apoyada solamente por nuestros radioescuchas. Es una radio comunitaria para los condados de Green y Columbia.
One of the things that is really interesting and very mysterious is the fact that what we experience is really more memory than it is real time. Because we're always half a second behind.
This is Atrevida, and the recording you just heard was from Luke Skywalker's training in Star Wars, Good and Evil, Belief and Disbelief. This controversy has been going on from the beginning of human interaction, wherever and whenever that began.
I'm Liz Lo-Judas, your host from Cornell Cooperative Extension's Agroforestry Resource Center. So in the aftermath of Irene, I decided to postpone my planned show so that I can do my work as an extension educator and share research-based information that I hope will be helpful for people recovering from the storm.
Anyone can add an event to the WGXC calendar on